Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Welcome to Inside the Friendly Confines, a Cubs-centric podcast brought to you by Good Karma Brands, ESPN 1000, and Arlington Toyota. Today, we actually go outside the friendly confines and up to Milwaukee, where the Cubs will play this weekend. I'll talk to the GM of the Brewers, Matt Arnold. His first-place team, likely to see the Cubs' newest member of the rotation, David Peterson. As desperate times call for desperate measures, the Cubs trading Cole Mathis to the Mets in the middle of the series against them. So all you had to do is change locker rooms as they make a rare late June trade. But the good news is, with Matthew Boyd's return on Thursday as we tape this show, and then the addition of David Peterson, the Cubs have some bodies to eat up some innings and maybe even go on a little bit of a run here, as we've seen their offense come back to life as well. Dansby Swanson having that great series against the Mets. And I'm sure you've read or heard by now that David Peterson has a really good chance to turn things around with the Cubs. First of all, he gets out of what looks like a toxic environment in New York. I actually talked to David Peterson when the Mets were at Wrigley Field, and he wasn't in love with the fact that they had an opener for him. I'm not sure the Cubs will use an opener. Cubs don't have that many good, healthy arms that they could afford to use an opener, but we'll see how they use him. Peterson, obviously a ground ball pitcher. You've probably heard about that by now. And with this Cubs infield defense, they have a really good chance to help him turn around his season. But let me be clear about some reporting here. This trade, also to me, a rare late June trade, as I mentioned, I think is an indication that Ben Brown is not going to be back anytime soon. Nothing official out of Cubs camp, but do not expect this to be a minimum stay on the IL for Ben Brown. This is not exactly, you know, a sore neck like you and I might get waking up one morning. This is something more serious than that. He has had neck issues in the past, going back to 2024. So, you don't see many of these kinds of trades, even for a guy with a 6 ERA. It's not late July. It's late June. But I think it's an indication that they've got those issues on the mound, and Edward Cabrera is probably not going to be back anytime soon as well. So they had to find somebody, and they actually gave up an okay prospect in Cole Mathis in doing that. Before we get to our guest, got to mention Dansby Swanson. I think the work with John Mailey in particular is paying off here. Let's see if it can continue. But this game is about confidence, and his confidence must be at least peak levels for this season coming out of that Mets series. Hopefully it can continue in Milwaukee. Speaking of Milwaukee, let's go up there right now as we go, as I mentioned, outside the friendly confines into American Family Field. Let's go inside the clubhouse, in this case, inside American Family Field's executive suites, where we find the president and GM of the Milwaukee Brewers, the first place Milwaukee Brewers. We say hello to Matt Arnold. Matt, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. We'll get to Cubs and Brewers this weekend. Huge series. Always, it's a great rivalry. But I have to ask you right off the bat, do you only employ pitchers that give up a hit and strike out 10 batters a game? Is that the only kind of pitchers you employ?
Yeah, that's been our philosophy. But it's easier said than done, man. But credit to those guys. I mean, you know, the guys the last couple of days, Woody and Sproat, have just been unbelievable, honestly. And credit them, their preparation. I mean, Woody's overcome a lot to work his way back and is doing great. Knows how to pitch and really just really successful career. I mean, one of the most venerated players, frankly, in the history of our franchise. And love having him around, even when he's not on the field. I mean, he just makes such a great impact. And then Brandon Sproat doing what he did. I mean, he's got incredible stuff and just still learning how to pitch and doing his thing yesterday was a ton of fun to watch.
And then you go back two starts for Miz, and he strikes out 15 while giving up a hit. When you think about those three outings, you must have a lot of different feelings. I mean, the Miz thing is something we've rarely seen, right? But you mentioned Woodruff, first start since April 30th to throw five perfect. And then Sproat, I saw you at Wrigley Field and you were touting him. The stuff was there. It just needed to sort of come out. So I wonder which of those three starts you're most kind of proud of.
Oh my gosh. Can't pick a favorite kid. You know, I mean, they're all my favorites. I mean, I love those guys in every way possible. And, you know, they've just done tremendous jobs really. And I'm so proud of the work that they put in, and it's all credit to them. You know, honestly, those are the guys that are putting in the work. And when you see those guys on the off days and, you know, they're throwing programs, how dedicated they are and doing the little things too. I mean, working on PFPs with Charlie Green in the right field corner, you know, I mean, they're doing all the little things to make sure that they're well prepared. And again, can't be more proud of that group.
Well, the Sproat game was your 11th 10 strikeout game by a starter, most in the majors. So my question, Matt, do you not like your defense? Is that why you're striking out so many guys? Yeah, but you have a good defense. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, you can count on those guys. I mean, you know, the combination of, you know, all those infielders, Terang and Ortiz and Cooper Pratt and David Hamilton, honestly, all those guys just doing a heck of a job. And then over at first, obviously, Vonnie and Bowers, you know, have done a fantastic job, and can't say enough great things about them. And yeah, we certainly trust our defense. It's great when you have pitchers on the mound that just aren't giving up any contact. So that's fun for them. But they're going to be ready if a ball's hit to them for sure.
Well, speaking of Miz, everyone was looking forward to Friday night. Ben Brown, which kind of a guy that's emerged as the Cubs ace right now against Miz, but he's put on the IL. Cubs have a whole host of guys on the IL. You guys went through that more last year than this year, though you've gone through it this year as well. What was that attitude last year? Was it 10 to 12 pitchers on the IL at the same time? Is there a feeling of let's just survive and then maybe we'll go on the run? And it's exactly what happened last year. But what do you, when you look under the hood, what can you say about the injuries? It feels like there's no rhyme or reason. A lot of teams are experiencing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, look, I think you have to build up a ton of depth here in the league to survive, you know, and we've had different stretches here without, you know, more recently guys like Logan Henderson, Quinn Priester, Brandon Woodruff, you know, I mean, just every team is going through this. Right. And so to the extent that we can, you know, weather the storm there and make sure that we have guys that are continuing to step up, guys like Shane Drouin, Robert Gasser, you know, that are really talented guys as well. Chad Patrick, you know, stepping in and pitching in any role, whether it's the front of the game or the back of the game, covering innings, you know, those guys have just done a fantastic job. So it's an all hands on deck approach for us all the time.
And when it comes to the opponent, can you feel bad for the player, but not necessarily the team, you know, with the Cubs having all these injuries?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, you never want to see guys get hurt in this game. And there's so many different ways you can get hurt now. And you see little things pop up with these guys all the time. And, you know, again, that's the guys are putting in the work and doing their things. But the game demands so much more now with the pitch clock and how to train, how to cover so many innings and maximize your velocity and stuff while maintaining the ability to go deep in games. You know, it's such a balance and we're all trying to figure that out. I don't think there's any secret formula to any of that stuff. It just comes from a group of arms and a bunch of guys that want to help each other out whenever they can.
Now, I know this is a knock on wood moment, but when you see Miz doing things we've never seen before, what goes through your mind? I mean, he has seemingly perfect mechanics. The biomechanics are there. Like, he looks as locked in as anyone. And do you wonder about health? What goes through your mind just from a fan and a executive standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, every pitch, honestly. I mean, you worry just like, you know, Mama Bear. It's like you want to make sure that they're wrapped in bubble wrap to the extent that they can. But look, these guys are competitors and they're out there fighting in the arena, you know, and I respect the heck out of what they're doing. And, you know, they're out there to win the game, you know, and I think Murph pushes those guys in the right ways, obviously wants to do what he can to protect them as well. And so there will be times when a guy, you know, will push a guy like Miz the other day when he's rolling, and other times, hey, he'll be at 80 or 85 pitches and come out after six, you know? So I think the guys, Chris Hook, Jim Henderson, Juan Sandoval, all those guys just do a fantastic job making sure that the players are protected, but also competing at the same time.
I want to get back to your organization, ask you some questions that you've been asked a million times. We'll do that in a minute. Let's fast forward to this weekend. Whether you're in first or in second, do you really enjoy playing the Cubs? I mean, the council storyline, you're beating them in the playoffs. It feels like this rivalry has almost every year gone to another level. The fans from both fan bases come out to both ballparks, and I expect it'll be crazy this weekend.
It always is. Like, I think the Cubs fans pack our ballpark. They have for a long time. And the Brewers fans have have really answered the call for us. And I'm really thankful for that. And it's a tremendous rivalry, something that I really appreciate. Certainly, and was in those types of games in some ways with when I was with the Rays, with the Red Sox and Yankees, and it's just different here with the proximity of how close we are to Chicago. And I know there's a natural rivalry with the Packers and the Bears and all that stuff, you know, goes way beyond since I've been here, but we love it, you know, and I enjoy competing with them, and they do a really, really, really good job. And so they're going to be tough every time we face them.
Yeah, I know Council's hopeful that Ben Johnson gets booed louder than he does in Wisconsin these days. That came up during the winter meetings, and he kind of got a kick out of that.
Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Let's talk a little bit more about your team. Okay, I know you probably don't want to hear about knee doctors, but I've got to get to it. I've got to get to it because I'm sure if you had a nickel for every person that asked you, you know, how are the Brewers doing this, you'd be a rich man and you'd retire on an island in the Bahamas, right? I mean, you get asked it a lot, but I'm going to go back to something I've said on the radio often that Andrew Friedman said last year to me in the playoffs, and let me read it to you. This was my question to him about how a small market like the Milwaukee Brewers can have some success. And he said, I used to give this analogy when I was with the Rays. If you think about it as a doctor, we were able to be knee specialists and know every single thing about the knee. We didn't have to worry about any other part of the body. And then I came to the Dodgers. It was like, oh my God, I have to learn everything about the body. So in different situations, it's knowing who you are, what are your advantages, and attacking that. I think they've done that exceptionally well. He's talking about you. So, Matt, the million-dollar question, in this analogy, what does the knee represent for the Milwaukee Brewers?
I mean, I love that from Andrew. I love Andrew to death. I mean, yeah. He's a huge part of why I'm here. And, you know, I think that we certainly need to know all about the knee. I think we also need to know about the rest of the body, too. We may just have less resources to do that type of surgery if we're talking about body, and maybe we just have to go to the what was that, the doctor underneath the bridge where the Joker got his operations. Like maybe we're just doing that on the rest of our body, you know. It's a little grindy wherever we're getting our surgery done, but no, look, I think you know, I obviously am thankful for the opportunity that he gave me, and I think that I've learned a lot from him about the entire body, so to speak. Honestly, I really did. And you know, the fact that he included me in all those different conversations, I learned so much from him. And I certainly do think that we have to be experts on the whole body, certainly. And we're trying to do that just in a different way, I think, than the Dodgers are.
Yeah, I think analytics plays a part in everything. But does it still come down to acquisition and development? I mean, hands on, eyes on, coaching, scouting. I mean, the simple things, perhaps you guys do it better than others. You know, that sounds simple, but it seems it looks more complex than that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you can do a lot of things well, and have good process. And then if you just make the wrong decision on the wrong players, that's going to stack up against you, you know? And I think that our group, you know, spends a lot of minutes on that. We're never perfect. We've made a ton of bad mistakes. I saw David Fry the other day. We traded and he turned into an all-star, right? And I just sort of gave him a hug. I was like, hey man, bad trade, right? And so still love the guy to death. And I pull for all these guys whenever they leave us, because I want all these guys to be successful, because we invest in them as scouts and as evaluators. You really do care about the players. You get to know them and, you know, their families and all those things. And so, yeah, I think it does come down to just stacking wins in acquisition and player development.
Well, let's talk about player development real quick. I mean, you take Miz in the second round. He looks great, but now he's reached another level. You give credit to the player, of course. What have you guys done to sort of bring the best out of him and turn himself into the best version of himself almost every 5 days?
Yeah, honestly, a huge credit to the people in our farm department. You know, Cam Castro, Tom Flanagan, those guys have just done a wonderful job. You know, being able to access different parts of what we're trying to do, whether that's biomechanically, whether that's mental preparation, how to pitch, you know, when to do certain things, how to prepare, how to be a big leaguer, you know. And I think that that stems from the good work that the guys have done at the big league level. And I think honestly, once you show up in Milwaukee, there are standards, whether that's been, you know, going back to, you know, Corbin Burns or Freddie Peralta or Brandon Woodruff, you know, I think carrying the torch. And then once you get here, there's a certain standard, I think, that those guys are expected to uphold. You know, and I think that once they're around that environment, even when they're younger, they're in big league camp, getting to be around those types of guys, I think it's just an incredible learning experience for them.
Yeah, it, I think it does go back to knowing who you are. I mean, you guys don't hit a lot of home runs, for example. So does that inform yourself that we need to do these other things every single night to win?
I mean, I'd love to hit more homers. You know, I mean, that'd be great, right? But we haven't. Doesn't mean we can't. You know, yeah. Jackson Chourio's been pretty hot lately. Mm-hmm. But it's not our brand necessarily. We do a lot of little things and try to move runners and make sure we execute really well. And I think that's how we've won the last couple games. You know, the last two nights really is just execution. You know, whether it's sac flies, bunts late. You know, and a credit to Pat Murphy and the staff for just making sure that the guys have that type of standard to execute when they need to.
I know you're a busy man. I want to ask you a few more things here about your day. What is your day like in late June with the draft right up against the All-Star game, which comes close to the trade deadline? How is your day divided?
It's nonstop. It's whether it's on the phone with our guys or different departments or, you know, talking to other teams about what they're trying to do. We're constantly working on all kinds of different things and want to make the team better, certainly. You know, and then there's all kinds of draft preparation going on right now. We've had loads of meetings, leading the league in Zooms, I think, right now. but we're, you know, we really are trying to be thorough and talking about every player and making sure we're spending all the minutes we need to on the draft. So it's a combination of things. And we saw Giannis get traded the other day. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's a big deal here in Milwaukee, certainly. And you know, we're trying to focus on just doing what we can to make the Brewers better too.
Well, I don't know if they say this, but I'm going to make it up. Trades come in twos. You trade a big one away, you should acquire a big one, Matt. So let's talk one question about the deadline. You've had a couple playoff situations that haven't gone your way. Are you itching even more so? And does that mean you try to do even more in late July, early August? And along that, I want to ask this question because I've asked executives this. It's counterintuitive. Sometimes you're less aggressive the more desperate and in need you are. Like, are you trading a top prospect when it's only going to increase your odds a few percentages? When you are in first place, as you guys are, is there a tendency to be more aggressive because that shiny ring is at the end of the rainbow there?
Yeah, look, I think it's just a balance. You know, I don't have a great answer for you. Honestly, I think it's a combination of understanding what the cost is and then what the fit is, you know, the future value that you're giving up, the present value that you're giving up. I mean, there's so many ingredients that go into these types of trades. And look, we've had opportunities to trade a lot of guys on our big league team currently, you know, when they were younger. It's the Jackson Chourios and the Bryce Terangs. Everybody, you know, Garrett Mitchell, Sal Frelick, I mean, everybody's asking for these guys and we've been disciplined about holding them. And I think that puts us in a position to be successful. Our farm system is in a good spot and, I recognize that, but you know, the second you give up a number of guys, then they're gone and then what, right? Mm-hmm. And so we just have to be really cautious around the types of deals that we're considering, but we recognize, you know, our goal isn't just to get in the playoffs. We want to win a World Series here. And I'd love to do that for Bob Uecker, honestly.
Yeah, I hear. And look, I think you'd admit every situation is different. If it's the first year your franchise has made the postseason in a decade, that feels different than the fifth or sixth year or seventh out of eighth, right? I mean, every data point informs you. And I think your fan base is probably itching for more.
Yeah, we are too. I mean, I think like we certainly want to do that. We want to be disciplined. You know, when you're playing poker, it's always risky to push all your chips in. We want to make responsible bets here and we want to make sure that the Brewers are consistently good. And also, you know, consistently chasing a championship. That really is what we want to do.
All right, let's have some fun. I'm going to go lightning round with you. A few questions here. Oof. How often, this isn't for start easy. How often do you look at the standings?
Not every day. probably a couple times a week, you know, just check in. I feel like it's a little, you'll drive yourself insane if you follow too closely, but you want to make sure you know where everyone is. But yeah, I'd say a couple times a week.
Does that habit change knowing where you are in the standings? Are you more likely to look when your team is on top, is my point?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you always want to just be cautious of where you are. And we're also always trying to plan, you know, what that looks like, what future matchups look like always. And so, yeah, I spend a decent amount of time on it, but I try to drive myself crazy with it.
Superstition or maybe routine when things are going well or poorly, like what about in game? What do you like? Do you make sure you don't eat popcorn on a win streak? What's the thing? What's the Matt Arnold thing?
So when I was with the Rays, Heim Bloom always had a rally salad. He would make a salad and he would put it in the back of the room for like the seventh inning. I don't have the rally salad in me.
A rally whiskey maybe.
Well, I would love that. That's post game, buddy. But what is Brandon Woodruff calls me first team all snack, you know, so I can snack with anybody. But I, you know, I'll try to eat with, whether it's in the clubhouse with some of the guys or, you know, in our booth with the staff, maybe for the first half of the game. And then oftentimes I'll try to go work out in the second half of the game just to move around a little bit, burn some energy and eat less. So that's sort of my, routine.
Doesn't change with a win streak or a losing streak. No, you don't. No. But it's eat workout is kind of the routine.
Kinda, yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, how about this one? Go back years if you want. A deal that you came close to making that fell through that nobody would mind you telling that story now.
Oof. Well, man, good question. I mean, I would say, you know, years ago, I was with the Cincinnati Reds a long, long time ago. We almost traded Ken Griffey Jr. to the White Sox. That was kind of crazy. And then I think he ended up rejecting the trade to the White Sox at that point. But it was that was really close. That was pretty crazy. I think Chris Young, the longtime announcer, is and media presence now. Right. He was a really good player at the time, and he was part of that deal. Coming back to us. I know that, but, yeah, that would have been a big deal and ended up falling through. So I would say a Griffey trade probably would be the one that comes to mind.
And Griffey eventually did end up on the White Sox.
He did.
So there you go. So he didn't need you to trade him to him.
No.
All right. Final one. Here we go. Ready for this one. You and the Dodgers have both clinched the postseason. Can't move up in the standings at all, but you do play each other. Second to last day of the year, has no impact on the standings. Would you rather beat the Dodgers by 20 and lose to Andrew Friedman at pickleball, or beat Friedman and lose the Dodgers on the baseball diamond?
Oh my God. Well, I'll swallow my pride and choose the Brewers over my pickleball game. Like I have to do that. I'm not going to let Andrew beat me though. That's obviously not going to happen, but
yeah.
But no, I think always putting the Brewers first here. That's first and foremost.
And you don't need any help to beat him in pickleball anyway.
I mean, he's not bad, and he plays really hard. So
80 grinder.
It's not bad. 80 grind. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
for tough. Sure. He's tough. Matt, thank you so much. See you this weekend in Milwaukee. Should be a fun series as always. And good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate you.
You got it.